This message comes from Hulu, from visionary filmmaker Taika Waititi and author Charles Yu. The Hulu original series, Interior Chinatown, tells the story of an ordinary waiter swept up in a criminal investigation. All episodes are now streaming on Hulu.
You're listening to Code Switch. I'm B.A. Parker. This week, we're bringing you an episode from a podcast called Pretendians, co-hosted by Robert Jago and Angel Ellis. Their series looks at indigenous fraud and how it often undermines tribal sovereignty. But there's no single foolproof method of determining whether or not someone is indigenous. We've explored this on Code Switch before. On this episode of Pretendians, we hear about different approaches to exposing people as Pretendians, and how sometimes those investigations cause more harm than good. Here's Angel and Robert.
Angel, what's the worst thing that could happen with this series?
The worst thing that could happen is that our information is bad and the person is actually a native.
Could you imagine?
I would just be like crawling under a rock and dying is what I would do.
Worst case scenario is that we get it wrong and then we look like goddamn clowns to hundreds of thousands of people. And also, like, we've really screwed someone over.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that will haunt you forever.
A mistake like that is our worst nightmare. But it's also someone's reality. Today's episode is about a Pretendian hunter who may have gone too far. It's about what happens when Pretendian investigations go wrong.
They want to calculate their total takings and hang that on the neck of people who are falsely claiming.
I just find it has just a very rotten heart of hate.
This message comes from NPR sponsor LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Take care of your business legal needs in just a few clicks. Save 10% with promo code CODE10 at LegalZoom.com. Offer expires December 31st, 2024. LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice, except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
This message comes from Discover, weighing in on what's accepted and what's not as accepted. First, did you know Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide? But showing up to a party empty-handed? Not so accepted. You should have at least bought some napkins or even a party-sized bag of chips. So next time, remember, it pays to Discover, based on the February 2024 Nielsen report. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. This message comes from BetterHelp. It's important to take time to show gratitude towards others, but it's equally important to thank yourself. Life throws a lot of curveballs, and being grateful isn't always easy. Therapy can help remind you of all that you're worthy of and all that you do have. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Try at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Scrolling down my newsfeed on a hot summer day. Gotta find them Indians who ain't who they say. With my trusty keyboard under the hot summer sun. Gonna chase them imposters until the job is done.
From Canaland Podcasts, this is Pretendians, a show where we investigate the impact that fakes, frauds, and phonies have on real Native people. My name is Robert Jago. I'm a freelance writer from the Kwantlen First Nation and Nooksack Indian Tribe.
And I'm Angel Ellis, a citizen of the Muscogee Creek Nation located in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. I've been a writer, editor, journalist for about 15 years.
Angel, I'd like you to meet Jacqueline Keeler.
My name is Jacqueline Keeler. I am a citizen of the Navajo Nation. My father is Yankton Sioux from South Dakota. I'm a journalist and author, and I have been doing research into allegations of ethnic fraud, commonly called Pretendianism.
Non-Native listeners may not be familiar with Jacqueline Keeler, but they're likely familiar with her work.
Jacqueline Keeler is a Navajo and co-founder of the group Eradicating Offensive Native Masketry.
They claim the buck-tooth red face image is offensive to Native American culture.
I love Wahoo! Fuck you!
It's a caricature! Get over it!
Oh,
Jacqueline and her team succeeded in getting most of those awful mascots away from major sports, like the Chief Wahoo mascot of the Cleveland Indians, now known as the Cleveland Guardians, as a result of her campaign.
They promote stereotypes, outdated stereotypes about Native people, and they pigeonhole us so that real Native people aren't seen for who we are, and nobody knows anything about us.
And she also got the Washington to ditch that name. Now they're the Washington Commanders. Can we beep? It's like such a... Like, just go beep.
Okay. So that's one of her projects. Another has been leading the charge to identify and expose Britannians. She's been quite effective at that, too. CBC News gets the credit for exposing Buffy St. Marie and how she misrepresented her Indigenous identity. But it was actually Jacqueline Keeler who first discovered and researched this.
Yeah, I'm the one who found out she wasn't who she was.
At first, Jacqueline was a Buffy fan, like a lot of Natives. She used to have a radio show, and she used a Buffy song in every episode.
I had as the sort of theme song to my show, a song, Carry It On by Buffy St. Marie, you know. And every morning I'd have a show, I'd like get all worked up, listening to it, like get all like jazz and stuff and get myself going. Someone in the comments basically said, oh, did you know that she's a fraud? I was suddenly having this sinking feeling when I realized that she never was able to really identify her family or any proof at all that she, you know, had come from Saskatchewan or even Canada. And I was like, oh my God, this seems like a Pretendian. And the first thing that popped up was that she had been on the Massachusetts Birth Index, was being born in Stoneham, Massachusetts. And I was like, whoa, what does this mean? I mean, and so we were able to really piece together that she was born there, and these were her actual relatives, her Italian father and her, you know, white pilgrim mother. You know, there's an Italian American community there that felt very rejected by her, that she was ashamed of them. You know, there are stories in the printed at the time of her driving her Italian uncles away and screaming at them, you know, because she was ashamed that people might realize that they were her actual. She looks like them. She looks exactly like them. You know, and you know, it was all there. It was pretty apparent that she was lying, and she's lied about it so much. It's just completely ridiculous to fall back on that at this point. You know, she's never told the truth about it. She was lying. That's the end of the story.
Angel, how did you feel about the Buffy expose?
Oh my gosh. The Buffy expose kind of rocked my world because like, it was like generations of my family who were like hurt. You know how when your dad really loves that song and you have great memories of that song in the car, and then it turns out that they're not actually like you.
It was really disappointing because she was always one of those figures that for any sort of Canadian thing, they always dragged her out and propped her up. It was just disappointing because of her status in the community.
She was on Sesame Street and you're like a Native kid, like watching Sesame Street. And it's like the first time you've ever seen that. It's like a thing. And so it kind of like makes your childhood a lie in a way. It's like, what is going on here?
Buffy is just one of Jacqueline's many subjects. What we're going to focus on today is her main effort to identify Pretendians. Pretendians in universities, in the media, all over. And she made a list.
I created a Google Doc and I put down the names I knew, which was, I don't know, maybe 25 people I knew of. And then I opened the list at, well, it was never open, it was private list, but if someone asked to have access to it, we would let them, but only once they gave their real names, we were able to ascertain that they were actually Native, and that they were professional in various fields, right? So they're talking about in colleagues in their fields, right? And so then we opened the list up to them. It was, we stopped at 200 because we needed to finish the investigation. We have since received several hundred more names.
200 names were added to this Google Doc. All of them were people who were suspected of being Pretendians. Now, as you heard, Jacqueline says this was a private list.
Then how do you know about it, Robert?
Because it wasn't private. It may have been private when it was first released, but once it was out in the world, it was everywhere. On Reddit, on Twitter, put up on people's blogs. People made copies and shared them around. It was very easy to find, and Native social media, as you know, is a pretty tight-knit and small world. Once word of this list got around, everyone was checking to see who was on it. I asked Jacqueline if she filtered out any names before adding them to the list.
We did remove some if we knew off the bat that they were legit. You know, I mean, I don't know. We really were looking for people who were seriously questionable. We wanted to find out the truth. Mostly we just accepted what they wrote. I think if someone, we allowed access to the list, you submitted a bunch of claims that were spurious or obviously ridiculous, we just got rid of those. But mostly they were chosen by people who are professionals in those fields, native professionals who have suspected fraud in their fields. They were the ones who chose the people on the list. And some of them, I put alleged because, you know, we had not confirmed these cases and we needed to do so.
This was not a list of confirmed Britannians. This was a list of people who were deemed to be likely suspects.
We actually can identify that ancestor and they are from the tribe they are claiming. No matter how far back it is, we mark them as verified. We verify that. So the problem is very few of these claims pan out and we've only been able to verify like 7 people.
Wait, so there were people on this list of possible Britannians who she later verified as being legit?
Yes. So for example, one of the people targeted elsewhere by Jacqueline Keeler was Tara Hauska. She's a citizen of the Kuchiching First Nation. She's a prominent land defender, a lawyer fighting for tribal rights, and she was front and center at Standing Rock. But online, Keeler cast doubts about her ancestry by investigating her mother's ancestry and determining that her connection was too distant to count. But Hauska is a registered native through her father's side. Jacqueline admits that some of the names on the list were not actually Britannians, but she doesn't see that as a problem. She argues that there was actually an upside for people who were called out on the list for maybe being frauds, because it gave them an opportunity to clear their names.
Verifying facts can actually relieve someone from accusations of fraud, but it can also show that fraud is really rampant. I mean, the initial list that we verified included 200 names, and most of them in academia in some form. And, you know, out of that, 97% of them, we could not verify their tribal claims. You know, why don't they, if they really have an issue, why don't they just present their evidence?
So it's kind of like if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear, I guess.
Jacqueline says she and her secret group of researchers aren't out to get anybody. She says they actually prefer it when they find out someone isn't a Britannian.
In fact, we found that CSU San Marcos professor who was actually being 100% accurate in her description of her descent. We actually threw a little online Zoom party, our researchers, because we were just so happy to find someone we could actually confirm. Like, we don't, it kills us to see that people are lying. It's not something we want to find.
She says she doesn't want to find Britannians, but when she does find them, she sees it as very important to call them out.
You know, what we are dealing with is fraud. I'm investigating a huge fraud case. I mean, a case of fraud happening in this country, which is probably stealing billions of dollars away from Native people. And that's not an exaggeration. These documents have like how much their families own, their land, everything. We know how much they got out of this. And so we want to calculate their total takings and hang that on the neck of people who are falsely claiming, because these people, as I've been quoted as saying before, are their ancestors, their family members were on the white supremacy party bus. And these people are driving Native people out of their professional careers. They are impoverishing Native families because many Native families depend on people who can, you know, get a PhD to help support everyone on the res.
She says if you add up all of the salaries of Britannians in universities that are instead going to imposters, it adds up to an astounding level of fraud.
Investigating a massive fraud case is what journalists do. And that's why they actually make the world a better place.
Honestly, I agree with the points she's making about Natives losing opportunities. And I agree with the point she's making about investigations and what journalists do and that it's important work. That's what we're trying to do here, right?
I mean, sure, that's the idea.
So let me ask you this, like, what's her criteria? Like, when we started making this series, we set up some rules for ourselves.
Yeah, it's not enough just to verify that they're not Indigenous. I mean, there are lots and lots of people who are Britannians. And most of them aren't really harming anybody but themselves. So to make someone worth investigating, we agreed on a 3-part test. Just first off the basics, they're not Indigenous. So that means they're not a citizen of a nation. They're not part of that nation. They're not tribally enrolled. They're not federally registered. Or they have no ability to be any of those. Also, the tribe exists and is a legitimate, real tribe. That's number one. Number two is that they're prominent enough to have an impact on the interests of actual Native people. So they're not just, you know, so-and-so at the gas station who says, oh, you're Native? I'm Native too. We don't care about that. It's about the ones who are doing things that are changing our politics, changing the culture, who are, again, like making money off of this. The key takeaway is that there's some sort of harm. The third criteria is that their community rejects them.
The tribe they claim doesn't claim them.
There are people on the ground from that place who say that this person, by our standards, is not one of us. That last part, I think, is really, really important. And it's what a lot of Pretendian stories have missed out on, is going into the community and finding out, how does citizenship work here? We can't just come in from on high, from a non-native media organization. We can't go into someone else's nation and say, that person's not a real one of you. I mean, we need to go and talk to them and find out what their standards are and apply those standards. So that's our criteria. And I asked Jacqueline what hers are.
The criteria is in the definition of Pretendianism that we use, which is that they are professionals in their field. They are seeking to be our spokespeople. They have monetization schemes going to monetize the claims, that sort of thing. So by definition, these people are consequential and these people are gatekeepers. And these people are causing harm and basically trying to salt the ground for actual Native people to participate.
So it's a pretty similar idea there too. But Angel, the difference with Jacqueline, I think, is in her methodology.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to publicly release a list of names and then start investigating, that's kind of ass backwards.
Well, I mean, well, as you heard, Jacqueline disputes that the list was truly public. And she disputes the idea that simply being on the list hurt anyone. If anything, she says it gives them a chance to prove who they are. But in a minute, you're going to hear from someone who was put on her list and who feels pretty differently about the whole thing.
This message comes from Noom, using psychology and biology to build personal meal plans to fit your lifestyle, taking into account dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs with daily lessons that are personalized to you and your goals. Noom's flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection to help you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com.
This message comes from Sun and Ski Sports, helping families make memories on the mountain. This Black Friday, save up to 50% on top brands for the outdoor adventurer in your life, with an extra 10% off select items online from November 19th to December 2nd. Visit your local Sun and Ski Sports to shop exclusive in-store offers, like enter to win a $200 shopping spree, or explore sunandski.com. Find yourself outside with Sun and Ski Sports.
This message comes from Bluehost. Make your ideas real with a website. Bluehost builds you a WordPress site in minutes with AI and optimizes growth with built-in tools. So start building now at Bluehost.com.
The Wild is a podcast about the wonders of nature and the people working to protect it. Through expert conversations and up-close encounters, we'll explore our world's most wild places, how they work, why they're so important, and what we can all do to preserve them. Listen to The Wild from KUOW, Chris Morgan Wildlife, and the NPR Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Kiros Old. I'm Pamunkey.
The Pamunkey Indian Tribe is the only federally recognized tribe in the state of Virginia.
I served on the board of directors for Native American Lifelines of Baltimore and Boston as the capacity of president, and I'm proud of that service. Thank you.
Kairos is active online. He's the founder and moderator of Indian Country, which is the biggest indigenous forum on Reddit. His first encounter with Jacqueline Keeler happened online.
We disagreed with something on Twitter. I think it's that petty. I don't think she ever forgave me for that.
After that, his name appeared on Jacqueline's list.
So I have to ask, if he's on the list, is he a Pretendian?
Well, we looked into his background, and there's enough there to show that he almost certainly is not a Pretendian. His mother and grandmother had tribal membership. He himself has chosen not to pursue a tribal ID, but he is a claimed and very active member of the Pamunkey community. He's not relying on some distant ancestor or generalized descent.
I'm embraced as Pamunkey by other Pamunkey people.
Good enough for me.
So during the pandemic, when Kairos was involved in getting Native people vaccinated, he learned that his name was on Jacqueline's list.
I came to find that I, along with about 200 other individuals targeted, were part of the alleged Pretendians list in the last days of January 2021. it was the 1 year anniversary of the loss of our child. And it's an unsubstantiated allegation.
Cairo says that even though he was the individual named, his whole family was implicated, and not just the living.
We're talking about our dead, whose legitimacy is questioned by persons who have no relationship to him. And so I saw one day she was making an attack about my mother having financed her home in D.C. from fraudulent Pamunkey claims, fundraising based off of false claims. And I pushed back on that publicly because my parents financed that home through a mortgage funded through their jobs. They were teachers in D.C. public schools.
I asked Kairos how Jacqueline Keeler's allegations impacted him.
I mean, it hasn't impacted me negatively economically because I didn't make money off of indigeneity. It's not my bread and butter. I don't do this stuff for a living.
But that's not to say he didn't suffer from it. After the list went around, others took it upon themselves to harass people who appeared on it.
I've unfortunately dealt with the criminal element who she directed at my family, and I had to tighten up some security measures. I had felt less safe, and it's gotten somewhat better insofar as I've gotten used to looking over my shoulder in this capacity. I've been less inclined, and I've seen other people affected by this, being less inclined to share of themselves and other communities and other families, because there are sharks. There are monsters in those digital waters, and she's certainly one of them.
As disturbing as all of this has been to Kairos, he says that it's not really new. He sees Jacqueline Keeler's list as a new digital form of something that's plagued natives for generations.
So under the Racial Integrity Act of 1924, the legislators in Virginia who were among the first families of Virginia, some of whom have documented ancestry going back to Pocahontas, wanted to carve out an exception to this act that defined in very hard ways race in Virginia, setting up a racial regime in which you could be white if you had distant Indian ancestry. All of the persons were considered colored or black. And then there was this tiny Indian category that eugenists did everything they could to persecute and repress and identify as suspect and fraudulent so they could keep the white race pure, so they could keep in their language, so they can keep these Negroes from passing into the white race by calling themselves Indian on documents such as birth certificates.
It's worth noting here that Kairos is both black and native.
The regime, the Jim Crow regime, very much wanted to know where people lived, where they worked, who they were married to, who their friends were, where they went to church. A total invasion of the lives of these people and the safety of these people. And you have to remember that there were felony penalties for violating the Racial Integrity Act. People did, in fact, find themselves imprisoned. So it just strikes us as being Jim Crow rebranded for the digital age, because it's the same information, the same persons used in the same way. Whether you want to call it, use the slur pretendian, or if you want to use an older slur like mongrel, which is what they would refer to us as. So yeah, it's old hat, it's bad policy, and I'm used to people demanding what my business is. Oh, did you really earn the job that you have? Or are you a diversity hire? Oh, what are you doing here in this neighborhood? That's how it hits me, to say that my parents didn't earn their home. We're used to that. We're used to the idea that people like us don't belong where we are. I just find it has just a very rotten heart of hate. She's a direct successor to it in methodology and in rhetoric and in targets. Direct successor.
So, I mean, Jacqueline said that she's just doing investigative journalism. She says that work should be looked at as reporting on fraud.
She did say that she's just doing investigative journalism. She also said that she always tries to get the other side of the story, as any journalist would. Kairos says that's not true.
She never tried talking with me at all. No outreach, no interview. It's all been very dehumanizing, because it's like we're dealing with some kind of wannabe anthropologist who doesn't talk with their subjects, who just writes about them and places things in the most hostile, antagonistic, derogatory light. We're not talking about professionals. We're not talking about ethical journalists here. We are talking about agitators and people who are trying to prop themselves up using clout and controversy and inference. What is the term? Speculative journalism. She's really stolen our story and created something else.
Kara says that since the list, some natives have got really paranoid.
I've seen people who on social media feel compelled to dox themselves to present their tribal ID and other personally identifiable information that they need to keep secure because they're afraid of being called frauds. It's created an environment of fear. Unfortunately, I'm part of that environment of fear, an unwilling participant in all this.
I'm just curious, though, does Kiro see any kind of value in the intent of this kind of work? I mean, there's widespread understanding that pretendians are a real problem.
Yeah, he thinks that tribal governments and only tribal governments should be doing these investigations. And given his experience, I don't really blame him.
I think people need to understand that it's not normal for someone to make a list of 200 enemies, digging down into where they live, who their family is, digging up their family trees, fabricating new family trees, pissing on those family trees, degrading those ancestors who can't speak for themselves.
You know, Kairos was saying that the only people that should be doing these sorts of investigations are tribal governments. And I was actually hired by my First Nation to do one of these sorts of investigations. And so I appreciate what he's saying there. And I think that applies when you have an identifiable nation and someone is claiming to be part of that. When you've got stories like Guillaume Carl, who we did a while ago, or the Hells Angels one a while ago, where they're making up nations, I think there's a place for external actors to come in and take a look at that. But I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah, I have real bad issues with Jacqueline's methodology. It seems like she's kind of holding people hostage in a court of public opinion that they have absolutely no way of refuting, because a lie can be around the world and back again before the truth ever puts its shoes on. And I think that if she had done a few key things differently, I could really support the work that she's doing. But it is fucking crazy to just make a list of your 200 enemies and start blasting them on social. That's bullying.
You're right. It is bullying. There is a problem in Indian country. We all agree that there is a problem. She agrees, we agree, we all agree that there is an issue with these pretendians taking opportunities, talking over us. And it's like an illness in our culture, in our country. And you can take a surgical approach and take it out carefully, being as minimally invasive as possible and making sure you don't hurt anybody. Or you could use a shotgun. And some of the pellets will go past and hit bystanders, but a couple will actually hit the thing, and so, well, there we go.
Sloppy.
For all of the cases where you get it right, it doesn't justify any of the cases where you get it wrong.
Absolutely not. I hate to think about what Kiros and his mom and his grandmother had to go and do in their own community when these kind of things started circulating.
You know, Kairos isn't the only false positive that we talk to. He's the only false positive that would talk on tape, because the others were afraid. And they were afraid of the harassment that they've gotten because of the list. And it's quieted down for a little bit now. And they were afraid that if they talked to us on tape, that it would come back to them, that it would restart everything all over again. And they would have to deal with people harassing them online and possibly in person.
Hey, Robert, I got a question. So if we were to have like a glaring mistake and someone pointed out holes in our methodology, what would your first step be?
If we're like a huge mistake, I would have to see where my data was bad. Okay, this is the thing with Jacqueline Keeler. It's hard to support her. She makes it very hard. The way she deals with people is just not freaking cool. It's not cool the way she deals with people. It's not professional. It's not humane. When you put that aside, she is doing a job that needs to be done. And she is one of the very, very few people who will do that job. And she has been right. And I think that if she were to change some of the ways that she deals with things and with people, that her contributions could be much greater than they are now. are much greater than they have been so far.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your life. I should have tried to get it right, but I got it wrong. You are for real all along. So let's just move on.
And that's our show.
Next time on Pretendians, Angel zooms in on Pretendians in Hollywood.
Johnny Depp is now a member of a Comanche family and has an Indian name that suits him perfectly.
It's Shapeshifter.
Our executive producer and editor is Jesse Brown.
Additional production from Caleb Thompson.
Julie Shapiro is our contributing editor.
Canada Land's editor-in-chief is Karen Pulezi. If you like Pretendians and want to hear more of it, it's really important to help us get the word out. When you follow us, subscribe to us, rate us, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, the sacred algorithm takes note and spreads the word to others. Please do it now.
You can listen ad-free and early on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Thanks for listening.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Total Wine & More. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices. Find what you love and love what you find. Visit TotalWine.com. Spirits not available in Virginia or North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21. This message comes from Random House Children's Books with Happy Head. Welcome to Happy Head. Attendance is mandatory. One young man has been selected for a new experimental mental health center designed to solve the national crisis of teenage unhappiness. He's determined to come out on top, but not everything is as it seems, and soon he'll risk everything to escape. Happy Head is a young adult novel by award-winning author Josh Silver, available everywhere books are sold.